Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, good morning. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640, and they'll send you a couple of guys. Wow, good morning. This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers. Welcome to another episode of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. I have my cup of coffee handy. Brian has his as well.
And we had caffeinated. And we had some delightful donuts again this morning.
Yes, yes, you were... I was going to say you're making me fat, but that mission was already accomplished several months ago. So, anyway,
well, we're working hard to keep keep it where it needs to be, I guess.
Well, I got
a question.
My
for
doctor
you, though.
Probably disagree with where it needs to be.
I got a question for you though. Tell me when it's going to stop raining and the grass is going to quit growing because I've had it with mowing my lawn. I've had enough.
See, what you need to do is, well, your kid's already grown. I have a teenage boy at home, so I don't have to deal with that.
That's not fair. That's just wrong.
Yeah, isn't that what they're for?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Mowing lawns and doing yard work.
I suspect Morgan will object to this line.
Probably.
Thought.
I'm not a slave, Dad.
So I saw pictures of your backyard, though. Your backyard's looking a little better.
Yes, yes. Well, we had, if our readers may remember, we have had the sycamore tree that was giving us nothing but problems. So the first time we had a branch break off of it, we just had that just trimmed off and taken down. And we had another one go down, and actually a couple took out part of our fence in the backyard. So,
crunch.
So I said, it's gone. It's out of here. It's history. And thank you, Clean Cut Tree Service of Des Moines, for coming out and taking care of that tree. They did a great job.
And the tree is gone.
The tree, well, yeah. The branches are gone. They left us a lot of wood. So if you want some, actually, I already have somebody who's got dibs on the wood, but we're going to have to actually get that up the hill in the backyard, which will not be an easy feat because there's some pretty big pieces, like probably like 300, 400 pounds.
Yeah, so if they split it up, though, in the backyard and haul it up, shouldn't be so bad.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so we're going to hire, I guess, teenage boys to take care of that because last time we took down the part of the tree, and I helped do it, I almost had a heart attack, I thought. I just need to get back in the
show. Now, is Morgan going to actually get paid to
yes,
help in this project?
Yes, we would pay Morgan to
do
this.
Wow, see, there you go, Morgan. This isn't going to be so bad.
Well, we have a special guest on the line with us this morning, Crystal Bruntz. She's an Iowa Senate candidate in Senate District 15, which is basically Eastern Polk and Jasper counties. And if I'm missing anybody in that district, I'm sure Crystal will correct me. Welcome, Crystal, to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, you guys, for having me.
So, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do for a living? Kids, family, all that.
Okay. Well, I am from Iowa, so I grew up by Ames. I went to high school at Nevada. I got a four-year degree from Central in accounting, and I went to work right out of college at Maytag. So there I did internal audit. And then I actually got into tax, which is what I always wanted to do, even though now you guys are probably rolling your eyes at that one when anybody says that they would want to do tax. But moved from there to
Pioneer
Hybrid.
It's a necessary evil.
Maybe a necessary evil. We can probably talk more about that. Went from there to Pioneer Hybrid to do tax. And then made kind of what a lot of people think is a different career jump, but I moved into human resources. So at Pioneer in Human Resources, I first started working with our expatriates there, so those people who we moved all around the world, which was quite an interesting and fun job. But also from there moved into working on immigration, benefits, compensation, kept doing that for several years, actually was at Pioneer for about 18 years. And now I'm at Come and Go in the corporate office, mm-hmm. and I am the director of Total Rewards, which really all that is a fancy name to say that I'm in charge of compensation and benefits.
But that sounds really cool. I'm in charge of total rewards.
Well, compensation and benefits are definitely things that
your employees
everyone
like
is
them.
Concerned about.
I like compensation.
Yeah, me too.
I can get behind that.
It's when they don't get it. It's when they're not happy with you.
That's not good.
For sure. It's kind of a love-hate relationship we all have going on there with that.
So, and married kids?
Yep, I'm married. I've been married for over 24 years now, and we have two kids. So Josh, who is almost 14, keeps reminding me that next week he can drive with us in the car, of course.
Oh, yes.
We can stand to do that.
Now, do you see him as slave labor for your yard work?
Actually, no. We have a pretty big yard, and my husband likes to mow.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't like to mow.
My husband bought this big mower that's like his free time to go mow for an hour.
So I'm NASCAR mowing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So I also have a daughter.
Oh, okay. Yes, we do need to talk about her.
Yes, we do need to talk about her because she is my little helper on the campaign trail, and she is 12.
She goes out door knocking with you?
She goes when she can, yep. She goes door knocking or she goes to events, whatever needs to be done. She's the one that helps. She's also my biggest critic. So whenever it comes to me giving a speech, she's always the one that gets very, very nervous for me and then critiques me afterwards.
Nice. Mom,
well, somebody's got to do it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, my kid's like, Dad, that was so lame.
Yeah. She's the same way. So.
All right, Crystal, so why in the world would you want to go from your corporate career into politics? What is it that motivated you to make such a decision?
Well, we had a lot of discussions at our house about all of this, whether one of us should run. And mostly the decision, I mean, it was a family decision, but it was really about we felt we needed to step up and make a difference. And that's really why we got into this. We did, you know, my husband's an engineer, I'm an accountant. So it's not like we just jumped into this. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of research beforehand. We talked to a lot of people just to make sure that it was the right time. It was that one of us would be a good person to jump into this and, have that Senate seat for this district.
Was there a particular issue or a series of issues that really was the catalyst for this decision?
I don't think it was one issue. I think it's more of a culmination of all the issues and just the way that we see the country going.
Mm-hmm.
My husband always jokes that it's really him. He told me to quit screaming at the TV and get out and do something about things.
Yeah. My wife has done some of that. She used to do that a lot when Bill Clinton was on TV. There was this sort of instantaneous verbal explosion in the living room.
Yeah, so... Yeah. So what are you finding when you're going out door knocking?
Oh, door knocking, it is quite the experience. I will just say, if you've never done it and you want an experience, you need to come to it. It is everything from people who really don't know, aren't paying attention, I would say, just because they're living their lives. And that's probably the way most of us have been at times. You know, so they're really what we call the apathetic voter. They might know a little bit. They might know a little few things that they like or don't like. But other than that, a lot of them aren't following any of the races. The other thing we find, too, of course, we get a few angry people.
Sure.
When we go to the doors. You know, some of them are angry just at politics in general. And I actually don't like being labeled a politician.
But you are now, sorry.
I know, but it's like I keep saying I'm not, because I'm really just trying to make a difference. But that's what they call me. So sometimes you can talk them through that, and sometimes you just have to say, well, thank you for your time and move on.
Sure.
Well, there have been some other good stories, too. Some of them may not be able to share them on the radio.
Okay. Speaking of the radio, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and you're listening to an interview with Crystal Bruntz, a Senate District candidate in Senate District 15. So what are some of the primary issues that you are running on here?
My primary issue, of course, since I'm an accountant, anything that has to do with spending and balancing a budget, that is one of my big focuses. Just to be able to understand how that money is being spent, making sure it's all accounted for, and making sure it's being spent in ways that it should be spent in the state is really important. And that's one of my focuses. The other, of course, is taxes. Since I've done taxes, mm-hmm. I know how complicated they are, and to think about how needlessly complicated they are would be one of the things that I would focus on to try to make them simpler. Mm-hmm. And of course, always decrease taxes.
Sure.
When you can.
So, what are some of your ideas for making our tax code simpler?
A lot of the things that make it difficult are just the ins and outs of how you do all the deductions, as well as just the multi-tiers of rates. That makes it hard, and it makes it a little bit harder to project from year to year, is what I've found.
Okay. And as far as state spending, I know a lot of people are concerned about, and I think everybody should be concerned about how our budget keeps growing. And a part of that, I know there are aspects to it that just happens year after year. State school aid usually goes up every year. We're basically Medicaid, our share of Medicaid, you know, fluctuates as well. So some of those things are outside of our control. What are some things you think could be done to kind of rein in some of the spending and kind of hopefully slow down that state budget growth? Or is that something maybe we shouldn't be concerned about?
Well, no, I think we need to be concerned about that. I mean, any business is always concerned about that, as well as every individual is concerned about that when they see some of their, what they would consider their fixed costs or things that they know they have to pay for start to change. Then we have to make some decisions about, well, how can we influence those fixed costs? And you mentioned two of them, education and Medicaid. Mm-hmm. How can we influence those to either decrease the rate of growth or to at least rein in the rate of growth on that? Do I have all the answers for that? Heavens no. I don't know that anybody
what?
Does.
Come on. You're supposed to be that. No, I'm kidding. I wish we had answers for everything, but yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of it, though, I mean, I've been in the business world my whole life. I think a lot of the things that really cost a lot of money are the things that individuals maybe don't even see every day. It's companies needing to comply with all the different layers of regulations. So even if you look at a school district and all the different layers of regulations and reporting and requirements that they have to meet, and they have to spend a lot of time on that, that all takes away from doing their main mission, which is educating our kids.
Yeah, it's just wasted productivity.
Yeah. Now, a big part of, I know, the election, we're hearing a lot about job creation, job growth. I just got out of my car and heard on the radio, unfortunately not this station, but on another station, I heard an ad from your opponent, Chaz Allen, who's mayor of mm-hmm. Newton. And the ad from the Iowa Democratic Party makes it sound like Chaz Allen single-handedly brought 1,400 jobs back to Newton after Maytag closed. What's your perspective on his involvement in that, and what are some of the key differences between you and him?
We've got about 3 minutes left.
Okay. Well, I actually have some firsthand experience with all of that because my husband and his group at Maytag were laid off during that time period, and the research and development piece was closed. We learned that pretty early on. It was in 2007, and we had decisions to make as a family as to what to do. Do we stay here? Do we go somewhere else? Where can he find a job? One of the decisions that we made, and he made that in conjunction with his direct reports at Maytag, was we determined that, let's try to start something here, which I will just say was not an easy task. It was several years of a lot of hard work and not a lot of sleep mm-hmm. between the two of us, as well as his all of his direct reports that helped with all of this. I mean, it was tough. I actually would rather have him, my husband, speak more about that. But as far as Newton, we did end up landing in Newton. It was not an easy task. It was thanks to the hard work of my husband and his friends, and not necessarily anything that the city did. We had an opportunity to buy a building there, which was wonderful. I want to thank those folks for allowing us to do that. And then what actually happened is 3.5 years later, Underwriters Laboratory came in and purchased the company. So now there's two buildings there that were previously unused, employing about 40 or more people. So that's what I know about job creation in Newton. And it's a lot of hard work, and it's not the government that's going to do it. It's not the city that's going to do it. It's those hardworking people that are going to step up to the plate and make a difference in their community.
Right, and government really doesn't create jobs anyway. They just
need to get out.
They need
it's just laughable when I hear these guys say stuff like that.
They need to get out of the way.
Exactly. They need to step out of the way, let these guys create what they need to create, because they hinder everything instead of helping it. And I can't even express how hard my husband and his team worked in order to get that company up and running, to make the payroll every week, and to bring in new business. And then to have a bigger company come in and buy them, that was not the intent.
Sure.
Any of this. It was all about keeping jobs.
All right, we are out of time. You can learn more about Crystal at BruntsForSenate.com. If you live out of her district, send her a check. If you live in her district, vote for her.
And send her a check anyway.
And send her a check anyway. Yeah, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Thanks, Crystal.
Thank you.
Marv, the boxes are packed and ready to move, but what about the appliances?
No problem, Alice.
Marv, I think you're going to need a couple of guys to help.
I've got it all worked out. I'll just lower this refrigerator down the stairs.
Whether you're moving across town, downtown, up, down, or back again, give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. Hi, I'm Brian Myers with M&A Moving and Hauling. Don't be like Marv and Alice. When it's time for you to move to your new home or office space, M&A Moving and Hauling can help. We have what it takes to move your belongings safely and securely to their new location. Give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640. That's 490-2640. M&A Moving and Hauling, 490-2640. Or online at acoupleofguys.net.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers, and we just had a great segment with Crystal Bruntz, who's running for Iowa Senate 15, and we're talking to another candidate here, a friend of this show, Dr. Sam Clovis. He is running for state treasurer. He contacted me the other day, and he's concerned about where we're at with our IPRS program in the state and 529 programs, and if your eyes just kind of glassed over and you're wondering, huh? You are not alone, because I told Sam, I don't know, just pretend like I don't know anything, because you know what? I really don't know anything about IPRS and the 529 program. So, Sam, what's the problem?
Well, the two big programs that the treasurer is responsible for. One of the things I find out traveling all over the state, and by the way, I've driven 100,000 miles in the state of Iowa over the last 15 months, just to not put too fine a point on the fact that I've been out talking to Iowans and The thing I find out is most people don't know who the state treasurer is, and the worst, even smaller numbers know what the state treasurer does.
Hmm.
And two of the major responsibilities of the treasurer of state is one is the monitoring and supervision of the Iowa Public Employees Retirement System, IPERS, and the College Savings Iowa program, which is the IRS Code 529 program. This is the college savings program that is very popular across the United States, and I'll cover each of those independently.
Sure.
The big issue with IPERS is that right now everybody that's in IPERS is in good shape. I mean, there is enough money in the system to take care of the people that are there, but as more people come into the system and as we evolve, what we find is there's a growing unfunded liability out there, and this unfunded liability has more than doubled since 2008 and now rests very comfortably just a bit south of $6 billion.
Wow. That's billion with a B.
Billion with a B, $6 billion. And the issue here is it's not, you know, that we can't keep our promises to the people that are in there right now. It's that we will not be able to keep our promises to people that are in the system or younger people in the system right now. And that's a huge issue because it's not a left or right, Republican or Democrat issue. This is a truly an Iowa issue, and
sure,
we have to figure out how to keep our promises to the people who have worked so hard and diligently for the state. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because of the lack of transparency on this. There is a, to me, I think that one of the things that's incumbent upon people who run for public office is to be able to tell the people that vote for them or elect them or whom they represent, they must be able to tell them the truth. And now,
sure,
sometimes the truth isn't always the best or is the easiest thing to swallow, but the truth is still the truth nonetheless. And I think this is one of the things that's important on IPERS. There are other things associated with IPERS, and this goes to the portfolio, about a $24 billion portfolio that IPERS has right now. Only about 2% of that is invested in Iowa. I think that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's about $3.3 billion of that $24 billion that is invested in extremely risky propositions, and 55% of the IPERS investment is in equities. Now, anybody that follows the stock market knows that the Federal Reserve, with its quantitative easing, that almost all of that money has gone in to inflate the stock market. And we've seen the nervousness of the stock market just in the last 3 or 4 days.
Right.
And if you
mm-hmm.
take a look at how much the stock market has gone down just in those 3 or 4 days, that has cost us approaching $180 million more added to this unfunded liability.
Hmm.
Now, those are the kinds of things that I think people need to know, because that's the responsibility of the treasurer, and I think the treasurer needs to tell the people of Iowa that there needs to be transparency and sunlight on this whole issue with IPERS. And so I'll take a breath here if you want
sure.
to ask a question.
Yeah,
so.
Brian looks like he has a question here.
Well, Sam, just real quickly, you mentioned a moment or two ago that the liability had doubled in a short period of time. Can you
right.
take just a minute and explain why that occurred?
Well, you know, the interesting is when I look at the IPERS reports and I look at the math, I'm having a hard time getting my head around it, because what we're faced with is we have a projected, or at least a reported return on that investment of over 10% over the last decade or so. The required break-even point is only 7.5%, and yet we see a doubling of the liability. Now, that math simply doesn't add up. I'm a Midwestern boy like everybody else. And, and I'm pretty good at numbers, and I'm just having a hard time making that math work. I think what has happened is depending on the investments that you have in equities, when those equities lose value, then you will have that in there. The other part of this comes back to that we have more people that are being paid than we have people paying in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, if you think about it, is the microcosm of what's going on with our own Social Security program right now.
I was thinking that same
yes.
thing.
Yeah, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Dr. Sam Clovis, who's Republican candidate for state treasurer. Sam, what are some things beyond letting Iowans know what we can do? And obviously, this is going to be the legislature and the governor is going to actually have to
Absolutely.
Fix the problem.
Yeah.
You're only kind of a steward. The state treasurer is really just kind of a steward of the process. But what, in your opinion, what should be done to address this problem? How can we fix it?
Well, I want to just finish up with your thought there on the stewardship. I also think that the treasurer ought to be an advocate for the people of Iowa, and that has not been going on because you just can't sit there and perform custodial duties over this and just sit there like nothing's going on. You have a responsibility, in fact, not only a fiduciary responsibility, you have a responsibility to the people of Iowa to go out and come up with solutions. And some of the solutions that we're talking about here is we have to tell, I think we need a top-to-bottom review of the IPERS investment structure or the board structure and how that operates right now. I think we need to also have a top-to-bottom review of the way that the investments are being handled and take a hard look at that. There are some things that, from an investment, I don't want to get in. You know, the thing is, as the treasurer, you should not be in there with your fingerprints all over every daily operation. That's why we hire people, hire companies to come in and manage that portfolio.
Sure.
But you set the rules. We set the rules for those investments. And I think one of the things is we have to take a look at statutory structures with the General Assembly and the governor, to make sure that if we have the opportunity to buy down some of this deficit, this liability, we should do that. And then at some point in the future, once we have this problem resolved, then I think we need to take a look at some point in the future of how the entire IPERS system is structured, and perhaps we can find a better way to keep our promises and to lessen that liability on both employer and employee.
Sure. Well, I know a lot of companies, a lot of people are getting away from pensions and you're going to more IRAs and basically taking a little more ownership of your own retirement. Is that something that Iowa eventually should be doing with their employees?
Well, I think there are many the part of the conversation, and I don't think that's part of the conversation right now.
Sure.
I'm concerned with fixing this liability and taking a look at how we invest the money. I do think that at some point in the future, there has to be an adult discussion about the hybrid programs and we have programs that are defined contribution or defined benefit or hybrids. And I think we need to take a look and have an adult conversation about that at some point in the future. But my first and what I want to do first is to make sure, one, we bring light of day to this, and then, two, come up with solutions to keep our promises to Iowans.
He mentioned adult conversation.
Yeah, good luck with that. With 520, we haven't talked really about the 529 program.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that and what some of the problems are there.
Well, the issue with the 529 program is the IRS code 529 allows people to put, and this is across every state, a program that allows people to put money into college savings programs. And you get returns on that. They're centrally managed. And there are tax benefits that normally accrue to that. In the state of Iowa, it runs around $3,100 a person. So if two parents start a college savings fund and they contribute up to $6,200, they'll get tax credit for that, and that's a big deal. And you can invest more, but you get a tax credit. One of the big problems we have with it right now is that non-originators, let's say the parents originate this fund, if grandparents live in the state of Iowa and they contribute to the fund, which they can, but they don't get any tax credit for that. And what I've already started talking to legislators in the General Assembly about expanding tax credits to non-originating contributors if they're residents of Iowa. This is a big deal, and people and most of the legislators I've talked to are very excited about this option, because they see it as a huge way to help people out in the state of Iowa and controlling the cost of higher education, which is a big deal. We have the third highest student loan debt in the country, and that's not where you want to be. You want to try to work on this problem. The second part of the 529 program that I'm proposing is locking in tuition rates. And the governor and the lieutenant governor have come forward with programs that are marching down that road. They're going to go to the regions and talk about $10,000 degrees at a regent universities, or discounts of up to 50% in various fields at our regent universities. This is a huge step forward, because now there's some certitude in what people have to borrow, or have to put away for their kids. And the third piece, and this is the one that I think is the most important, is right now the state treasurer has been spending money on, or trying to spend money on, public service announcements that are essentially electioneering for him. And he spends, quite a bit of money in election years. I think if you went and audited that, you would find that number would raise your eyebrows. What we intend to do is to take the money that we have set aside for those type of things. The treasurer's office has discretion in those. We are going to go to middle and low-income families, and we are going to help them start college savings programs under the 529 program for them. The reason we want to do this is because we have found, and this is going on in other states, we have found that if you are able to start a college savings program, that child has a 7 times better chance of going to college and 4 times greater chance of graduating from college. And you imagine going in and starting a program with middle and low-income families, then think about what that does to breaking the poverty cycle in the state of Iowa. This is a huge issue, and it's one that I'm very proud of as we advance forward with this whole option.
Any idea how much money that is?
It's not very. It's not nearly as much as you would think, because we're talking tens to hundreds of thousands as opposed to millions and millions. Because we're not intending to stream this, I mean, to have a constant stream in this. We're really, my proposal would be that if a family were to come up with $750, the treasurer would come up with $250 to put that $1,000 in the bank for that child to start that system. That would be, and then we would help the family or the contributors there monitor, and that program would fall right into the 529 rules and all that kind of stuff. It is not to go out here and have a constant stream of money into that. It's to help them get started and give them a leg up, and I think that's a huge issue.
Probably money better spent than running a PSA.
Think of the investment. Think of the investment, Brian and Shane. Think of the investment. We invest that money now, and think about what it saves us 10 or 15 years from now.
Great. So
we
could expect no PSAs from the state treasurer, Sam Clovis, correct?
Not with my likenesses in it, nor in election years, because we're also going to seek legislation to ban that for the state of Iowa.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Taxpayer-funded election commercials is not a good route to go, and I'm thankful that you're calling.
I think it's shady. I'll just be blunt. I think it's shady.
It is, and Michael Fitzgerald needs to be called on that. Often, and I'm glad you've been out there doing that. So where can people learn more about your campaign?
At samclovis.com, samclovis.com. It's not hard to find, and if anybody wants to send me an email, just at sam@samclovis.com, sam@samclovis.com, and I'll be glad to respond back to him.
Yes, and he does get those emails, so
yes,
directly.
Do.
You don't have people for that anymore. So, also, too, hey, I encourage you, send Sam a check. A lot of these down ballot races are not real focused on, and it's hard to topple an incumbent. And I think the more resources you have to be able to run radio ads and TV ads, the better. So definitely consider supporting Sam, samclovis.com. Sam, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks, guys. It's always a great pleasure. And thanks so much. And God bless you for what you do.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Great to have you on the show again, Sam.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Marv, the boxes are packed and ready to move, but what about the appliances?
No problem, Alice.
Marv, I think you're going to need a couple of guys to help.
I've got it all worked out. I'll just lower this refrigerator down the stairs.
Whether you're moving across town, downtown, up down, or back again, give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. Hi, I'm Brian Myers with M&A Moving and Hauling. Don't be like Marv and Alice. When it's time for you to move to your new home or office space, M&A Moving and Hauling can help. We have what it takes to move your belongings safely and securely to their new location. Give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640. That's 490-2640. M&A Moving and Hauling, 490-2640. Or online at acoupleofguys.net.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and yes, we do blog. Go to caffeinatedthoughts.com. I do blog in a basement, but I own the basement, and only occasionally I blog in pajamas. So, anyway,
There you go again.
Yes, I know that image of Shane sitting in his pajamas.
I had successfully ridded my brain of that image.
I have to bring that up often. Speaking of blogging, I was at CPAC in March. I think it was March, and I was able to watch a pre-screening of Unfair, which is a documentary put together by a couple of Iowans, and Craig Bergman is actually a guy who's had a program on this radio station. I don't know if he still does. Ron is shaking his head that yes, he's still on, and as well as Jed Saul. And it knocked my socks off. I was impressed, and I don't get impressed by political documentaries really, but this was well done. I want to play you the audio of their trailer.
We're here to protest the terrible injustice that upon the American people.
What's your name?
I'm not sure if I say it, maybe the IRS would be coming after me.
The IRS has become a criminal enterprise, much like the mafia, except the mafia operates with at least the honor
Mike
of
Huckabee there.
Not whacking the women and the children.
This has been going on for decades.
A lot of answers have been brought up, from abolishing the IRS. I also think some people need to be put in jail.
If a defendant in court changed his or her defense six different times, what would you call them?
It's not just conservatives. It's not just the Tea Party.
It's just about too much power in Washington.
They sent us a letter saying we owed right at $50,000. Well, we had to pay it or close up.
You know, we're all volunteers. You know, we don't get paid for this. We do it because we love liberty. We love freedom.
And here I'm being accosted by this IRS agent.
Why are the American people not demanding that we padlock their doors?
We want to make the moral case that it is un-American to violate your First, Fourth, Fifth, Seventh, and Eighth Amendment rights with this system.
This doesn't just potentially affect us. This affects everyone.
If it can happen to us, it can happen to you.
Mm-hmm. Where can we go? Where do you run away to from the United States of America?
Barbados. That was me. That wasn't in the screening. Bermuda, Bahamas,
come on,
Belize. I'm stuck on countries that start with B. But I can think of a few places where you can go run away. Probably a few places where you get some just numbered bank accounts too, that with great privacy laws. Where you can run away. Not that you'd want to, because this is the greatest nation in the world. So why in the world would you want to run away? Run away from the United States government? We do. It's unfortunate that people find themselves in places where the United States government is a hindrance and in a lot of ways it has become a bully. And the IRS is out of control. We saw that with the recent scandals with how they were handling nonprofit registrations and how they were targeting Tea Party groups and pro-life groups. And
well, I was really struck with Governor Huckabee's remarks here. He's normally a guy that takes a rather measured approach with his rhetoric.
He has his moments.
Well, I know he has his moments, but still, I mean, mafia, criminal enterprise, that's some pretty strong stuff.
It's, yeah, definitely. But there are a lot of problems, and there's been a lot of problems with the IRS for years. So we can't totally pin the blame on the Obama administration. This goes clear back, well, I think ever since, the 17th Amendment that allowed the, no, I'm sorry, that's the one with senators. 14th Amendment. No, that's not it either. I obviously need to pull out my constitution. I cannot think of the name of the amendment that allowed that brought in the income tax. So, you know,
you're lost too. Yeah, I've got this head spinning kind of thing.
Constitutional scholars, we are not. Yeah. So
this would have gone back to the early part of the 20th century.
Yes,
though.
I could tell you kind of approximately what was passed.
Whatever amendment that might be.
Anyway, that needs to definitely, the income tax amendment needs to be repealed, whatever number that is.
But to your earlier remark, Shane, you saw the film. Does the film suggest that this is a problem that's been there from the get-go, or are they saying that this is something that's recent, and if so, what's driving it?
It's been a problem from the get-go. By the way, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and this is our segment where we're just bloviating about stuff. Brian loves that word.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm sure the audience loves it too.
Yes. If you want to know our opinion about something, just ask. Everybody's entitled to our opinion. So, with Unfair, great movie. It's definitely. I think they talked a little bit about the past. The past of the IRS, but mostly about what's been going on lately with abuses, and it's very eye opening. Some of the things the IRS has done to these different conservative groups. Anyway, check out unfairmovie.com. Better yet, Tuesday, October 14th, they have a screening at 7 p.m. It's showing in seven movie theaters in Iowa, in our listening area with KTIA, The Truth Network, 99.3 listening area. You got Movies 12 in Ames and Jordan Creek 20 in West Des Moines. So go check that out. That's Tuesday, October 14th at 7 p.m. I didn't actually get the ticket price, but I'm sure it's going to probably be expect to pay between $10 and $15. I'm sure it's going to probably be a little bit more than a regular movie just because of being a private screening.
Is there a discussion in there about the history of the IRS? I mean, what
some, I'm trying
to describe it a little bit.
You're asking me to go back to March and remember everything that I watched. My brain cells don't work like that, man.
Now listen, you're always telling me how young you are relative to me, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm like, looking to you and saying, hey, young man, cough it up.
I'm trying to remember.
Make the hard drive work.
I'm trying to remember. I remember being caught. What stuck out for me with the movie were just the stories. Not so much the narrative and the history of the IRS, but it was the stories.
Individual stories of the abuses and so on.
Exactly. And it's eye-opening. It's sad in a lot of cases. This movie literally will make you mad. I don't give endorsements for political documentaries. And like I said earlier, it's hard to impress me with stuff like this. But this is a great documentary. It needs to be shown far and wide. So if you can't make it out, for the screening on the 14th, when it comes out to DVD, make sure you not just buy a copy of this movie and share it with friends. Take them to unfairmovie.com. Let them see the trailer. That will pique their interest. But this is a problem, and the IRS needs to be dealt with.
Speaking of which, and I know I'm asking you to remember again, but was there a conclusion drawn in the movie with regard to what steps can be taken to curtail these abuses?
Well, you definitely have I think the more we can simplify the tax code, fair tax would certainly take care of a lot of the problems. If you get rid of the income tax altogether, the IRS pretty much goes away, as well as auditing the IRS. There's a lot of things that could be done. Stripping some of the regulatory power that they have away, making sure there's stricter congressional oversight. There are a number of things that were promoted within the movie as well as without that could be done, I think, to rein in the IRS. I think first and foremost, and we've talked about it on the show before, but get rid of the Johnson Amendment, the whole churches and the 501c3 organizations not being able to engage in political activity and political talk, that is a violation of the First Amendment. The reason the IRS has not pursued this, you have not seen this taken in the Supreme Court, is because they know they would lose. This is clearly unconstitutional. And I really, with these churches are engaged, they engaged on the 5th for it was free speech. I can't remember what they called it. Pulpit Freedom Sunday. you know, I really hope the IRS does take the bait and go after a church or two. Not that I want the church to face consequences, but
no, you're looking for an opportunity.
We're looking for an opportunity. Let's get this shot down now, because this is abusive, and this is not American, and it's unconstitutional. And this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we'll be back.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Marv, the boxes are packed and ready to move, but what about the appliances?
No problem, Alice.
Marv, I think you're gonna need a couple of guys to help.
I've got it all worked out. I'll just lower this refrigerator down the stairs!
Whether you're moving across town, downtown, up down, or back again, give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. Hi, I'm Brian Myers with M&A Moving and Hauling. Don't be like Marv and Alice. When it's time for you to move to your new home or office space, M&A Moving and Hauling can help. We have what it takes to move your belongings safely and securely to their new location. Give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640. That's 490-2640. M&A Moving and Hauling, 490-2640. Or online at acoupleofguys.net.
And Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving Hauling, serving all Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640, and they'll send you a couple guys. Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We just have a few minutes left. The show has gone fast.
They always do.
They always do. And Brian wants to talk about Stacey Apple. I don't know why.
Well, now, wait a minute. Let's define what that means. I mean, I want to speak to some of the silliness.
Oh, okay.
It did not mean that I'm like, can't wait to speak about Stacey Apple.
But she makes it so easy.
Yeah. No, look, this whole campaign, it has been a bit of a nightmare because, and I think we've discussed on the show before, we really think David Young really needed some help with his ad campaign in particular. We just thought it's been abysmal.
Exactly.
But Stacey Apple is advocating an increase in the minimum wage, which is, of course, nothing new. She suggested $17 an hour. $17 an hour.
I wish we had the clip of that. Yeah, my jaw dropped when I listened to
the debate. Yeah, we should have got a clip of
that. And I've listened to both of her debates so far. I don't see how anyone could... Even if you don't think David Young is the ideal candidate, and he's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but Stacey Apple, think about it. Okay,
I don't want to think about that.
Gosh,
did I tell you she's got six kids and she's a mother?
Oh, I know. I stopped. Basically, somebody tweeted out, and I had to go, "Yep," because I was following this on Twitter, and I live tweeted it, Shane Vanderhart, at Shane Vanderhart. So follow me on Twitter. But anyway. This person said, yeah, my husband got up and said, well, she's not very bright or articulate. And I'm like, yep, that's exactly, that's what I thought.
That pretty well sizes it up.
That sizes it up. She is not, and I don't,
But it's not just that.
It's not just that, but she's a flaming liberal.
There we go.
Okay?
There we go.
On top of that, but she's not a competent one. Okay? So.
I don't know if that's good or that's bad, but.
Well.
Either way.
Yeah, I'm not sure competent liberals is what we want
exactly.
Either, but some of the things that she says and how she just is not very bright, guys.
I just, in Loebsack, he wasn't talking about $17 an hour, but he was talking about raising the minimum wage the other day as well.
Yes.
These guys, I don't, As a small business owner, a guy who has to meet a payroll every week, I'm just like, what is the matter with you people? Don't you think that there might be some market forces and some other economic factors that we need to take into consideration before you wave your magic wand like this?
If you're flipping burgers at McDonald's, you do not deserve 10-10, or if Stacey Apple had her way, $17 per hour.
I was stunned when I heard that.
I had jobs. I've had jobs in, you know, obviously, yes, nonprofit ministry, okay? But I had a college degree. I wasn't making that much money. So come on. $17 per hour. And I never thought I deserved necessarily more. Would I have liked to have earned more than what I had? Yeah. But you're right. Market forces are at play, and people need to be realistic. And I don't think what a lot of these liberals get is that when you increase the minimum wage, that has a trickle-up effect. You're going to have to then raise the wages of everybody else that's making more than minimum
wage. Prices increase, and when the price increases, you know, they make the assumption that everybody's still going to buy your services or your goods. Au contraire.
Sure. You know,
we can argue about where that tipping point is,
sure,
but when that price goes up, it affects sales.
No doubt. And, you know, maybe companies like Walmart could absorb this pretty good, because, I mean, they have large volume and they sell lots of products. But your average small business owner, that would kill them.
Our quote of the day is from John Witherspoon. The people in general ought to have regard to the moral character of those whom they invest with authority, either in the legislative, executive, or judicial branches.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. See you next week.
Take care, everybody.